We read the sacred scriptures tonight in Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies, and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old. When they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning. Lo, he goeth out into the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink against he come. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, and upon the rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood. And that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to do this also. And all the Egyptians digged round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled. After that, the Lord had smitten the river. we read the inspired scriptures thus far. The text for the sermon tonight is 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 through 9. 2 Timothy 3, verses 6 through 9, but we also will read the first 5 verses. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we considered last time the first 5 verses of this eschatological lesson that the soon-to-die Apostle Paul gives to the young pastor Timothy in Ephesus. We noted last time that in the last days there will be perilous times. The last days constitute the entire new dispensation, ultimately, though, referring to the very last days just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. These days will be increasingly perilous. And the great peril of the last days, according to the inspired apostle, is that people and churches will apostatize in such a way that they will manifest themselves with a life of immorality. The apostle describes that immorality at length in verses 2 through 4. But this also shall characterize apostasy in the last days. They will have a form of godliness. They will have the form, verse 5, but as we noted last week, they deny the power thereof. This is the great peril of the last days. The text tonight is a continuation of the same theme. The apostle has something else to tell us about these last perilous days. Out of the whole of all of the people and churches who will apostatize and live in immorality, all the while having a form of godliness, out of that whole, the apostle will now focus on a particular subset. He will narrow his focus. Verse 6, for of this sort, of these having a form of godliness people, of that sort are they which, and then he continues. The men in view in the text, in this particular subset, are false teachers. They have a position of influence, like Jannes and Jambres. And according to verse 6, they will creep into houses and lead captive silly women. They will lead women away because they are in a position of leadership. They will resist the truth. Verse 8, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, and they shall proceed no further. The main point about these men is not that they creep into houses, although that is an important part of their activity. But the main thing about these men is that they resist the truth. Verse 8. That's the primary description of the men, the people whom the apostle is now describing. They resist or oppose or withstand the truth. They are enemies of truth. And we consider these enemies of truth tonight. Before we begin the sermon proper, however, it would be good very quickly to go through the text and relate all of the subjects to the verbs. We will certainly do that through the course of the sermon, but very quickly now, right at the outset, so that there's no confusion. Verse 6, "For of this sort, some of these apostates of the first five verses are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, silly women led away with diverse lusts." 7 continues a description of the silly women, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these," that is, these who are of this sort in verse 6, those having a form of godliness, "these men," going back to these men, "they also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs," that is, Jannes and Jambres, "also was." The theme of the sermon tonight is enemies of truth in the last days. We consider, first of all, their identity, then their activity, and finally their end. The men that the text have in view are enemies of truth. Verse 8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth." Withstood and resist are the same word. They come from the same word in the original. That word is also found in James 4, verse 7, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." The literal idea is stand up to. Even better, stand up against. Do that to the devil. Stand up against the devil and push him away. That's the idea of these men. They resist, they oppose, they withstand. Literally, they stand up to the truth and try to push it away. Enemies of the truth they are. What these men do is comparable to what Jannes and Jambres did thousands of years earlier in the courts of Pharaoh. Verse 8, "Now as Jannes and Jambres, so do these." Jannes and Jambres were two, probably the leading two, magicians in Pharaoh's court during Israel's bondage. The Old Testament does not speak of Jannes and Jambres. Paul does not refer to Jannes and Jambres because he read the Old Testament. These names were probably preserved in either the written or oral tradition of the Jews, and Paul, schooled as he was as a good Jew, encountered their names in his Jewish instruction as a young man. And now he is able to identify them. And of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God has inspired verse 8. Jannes and Jambres, two leading magicians in Pharaoh's court. You remember the history well. God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go. And God gave Moses and Aaron the ability to do signs, wonders, miracles in order to verify what they would say and the fact that Jehovah God of Israel is the one true God, the only Lord, and he must be obeyed. So Aaron had his rod. When Aaron threw down his rod, it turned into a snake. And then Pharaoh called his magicians, they took their rods, threw their rods down, and they turned into snakes. When Aaron smote the rivers of water, they turned into blood. When Jannes and Jambres smote the rivers, they turned into blood. When Aaron stretched his rod over the waters, frogs came out. When Jannes and Jambres stretched their rod over the waters, frogs came out. Exodus 8 verse 18, when Aaron smote the dust, it became lice. Here, Jannes and Jambres tried, but they failed. They could not produce the lice. God was working there in Egypt. God must have given, in His sovereign direction of all things, Satan the ability to work in Jannes and Jambres in such a way that they could duplicate the miracles of Moses and Aaron. And God did that to harden Pharaoh's heart. That was His purpose. Pharaoh would not listen to Moses and Aaron and their word that Jehovah is God and must be served. So God gave Moses and Aaron the ability to do miracles. And Pharaoh stood up and said, well, that doesn't mean anything. So what if your God can do miracles? Jannes and Jambres, come here. Show them. And so his magicians, they perform some miracles, just as Aaron and Moses had done. And God used that to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he would not believe that Jehovah is the only God. Something else was happening, though, and that the inspired Apostle Paul calls to our attention in 2 Timothy 3, verse 8. According to the passage tonight, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. They were withstanding or opposing or resisting the truth. What truth? That Jehovah of Israel is God. That was the truth made plain in the opening chapters of Exodus and in Exodus 7 as we read. Jehovah of Israel is the only God and He must be served. Egypt had many idol gods, but the truth was that Jehovah is the only God and Pharaoh must listen to Him. Jannes and Jambres were doing their miracles to resist that truth. They were duplicating the miracles of Moses and Aaron in order to deny that Jehovah was the only God. However, the text tonight states, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Moses. They stood up against and tried to push Moses, God's servant, who in the Old Testament was the outstanding type of Jesus Christ. It was not merely that Jannes and Jambres were resisting the truth that Jehovah is God, but they were resisting Moses, the leader, the deliverer, the mediator who is pointing ahead to the better leader, deliverer, and mediator, Jesus Christ. They were standing up against and pushing away the truth that God is God as revealed in His servant, Jesus Christ. This is the comparison then. Just as Jannes and Jambres resisted the truth that Jehovah is God as He reveals Himself in His servant Jesus Christ, so do men in the last days resist, oppose, withstand that truth. That's the identity of these men in the last days. False teachers in the last days do not merely oppose objective doctrinal statements. They do not merely oppose apostolic words or creedal formulations. They do not merely oppose official teachings of the Orthodox Church When enemies of truth stand up and resist the truth that salvation is by grace alone, when they attack the truth of the origin of all things and teach evolution, when they undermine the inspiration of the Bible, when they say that there is some other mediator by which men can be saved besides Jesus Christ, and when, as they even do today, deny that absolute truth is even possible, these men are not merely opposing statements recorded in the Bible, they are opposing God as He's revealed in Jesus Christ. All opposition to the truth, and now it does not matter what form it may take, all opposition to the truth of God's Word is standing up against and trying to push back God as He is revealed in Jesus Christ. God the truth, and Christ His servant, the truth. These enemies in the last days oppose the truth. It's not that they get their theology wrong, or that they make some mistakes, or that they go off course a bit from the orthodox faith set forth in the Bible or creeds, but they oppose. They resist, they withstand, they stand up against God and Jesus Christ. No matter what the error, if a man teaches that you must fulfill a condition in order to be saved, what he's ultimately doing is trying to push God in Christ. That's all, that's true of all enemies of truth. They withstand God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Long ago, along the banks of the Nile River, and in the courts of Pharaoh, there were two magicians named Jannes and Jambres. They resisted Moses. That act was a foreshadowing of what was to come and what is presently happening throughout the entire new dispensation. Enemies of God, as revealed in Jesus Christ. That's the identity of these men. They oppose God as revealed in Christ. The text further identifies these enemies of truth in the last days by describing their outstanding characteristics. There are four of them. First of all, they are ever learning but never knowing. That is verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That phrase is a description of the silly women. It is a description of the silly women because they are being influenced by these men who are ever learning and never knowing themselves. They're always learning. They read philosophy, they read theology, they read Christian theology, they read the Bible, they study, they have a wealth of intellectual knowledge. They are always learning, but never knowing. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The word knowledge there is not the ordinary word for knowledge in the New Testament, but it emphasizes the knowledge of experience. Suppose you have a young man who loves roller coasters. He reads magazines on roller coasters. He goes on the internet and researches roller coasters. He knows all the statistics about roller coasters. He knows where you should go to find the highest roller coaster in the whole world, the fastest roller coaster in the world, and he knows exactly where to go to find the roller coaster which will plunge you down at the steepest angle. He's always learning. In fact, he even buys games that allow him to build roller coasters. Always learning. He's never stepped foot in an amusement park. He's never been on a roller coaster in his life. He's always learning. He knows intellectually, but according to his experience, he knows absolutely nothing. That's the truth of these enemies of the truth. They're always learning, but they don't know of what they speak. They could give a textbook definition of repentance and all the important elements included in repentance, but they've never repented. They don't repent. They know all the details of systematic theology, but it's never made a difference in their life. They know the history of the Christian church and theology, but they don't see the hand of God in it and praise Him for it. They know all about church government and how the elder and the deacon and the minister ought to occupy their office and what their obligations are, but they don't submit to church government. They know Hebrew and Greek and Latin, but they don't know God through prayer and humility and love of the neighbor. Always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, there's, of course, a warning here to all of us. Reading the Bible, coming to church, going to Bible studies, always learning. But the key is, do we know through experience? Learning the truth of total depravity is not very beneficial in the end if we don't go home and humble ourselves before God and plead for mercy. Always learning, but let us also always come to the experiential knowledge of the truth. That, of course, characterizes many today, pursuing bachelor's degrees and master's degrees and working on doctoral dissertations, but they don't know a thing. If you don't start with the fundamental truth that Jehovah is God, the only God, and He must be worshipped in Jesus Christ, if you don't start with that truth, then you do not know a thing. That's the fundamental truth. God is God. And that's our society today, ever learning, but never knowing. And it is true of enemies of the truth in the last days. Secondly, according to verse 8, they are men of corrupt minds. The mind is given to receive and reflect on truth. Truth always comes first into the intellect. Of course, it must be appropriated by faith in such a way that a man loves the truth with his heart. But truth comes through the intellect. One has to know the statements, the truth, the doctrines, the history of the Bible. It is true of these men in the last days that their minds are corrupt. There's a better translation that will reveal to us two things. The translation is this, literally, men who were and still are corrupted in mind. They were corrupted. And that explains why they're learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because for some time now they've had a corrupt mind. But more importantly, the verb is in the passive. Are corrupted in mind. Someone else is corrupting their minds. And then you think of Romans 1 verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. If you ever encounter a false teacher and ask yourself, how could a man ever teach this? How could he ever read the Bible and come to this conclusion? The answer is here. God has corrupted their minds. They began resisting God as God, revealed in Jesus Christ, And in his judgment, God corrupted their mind so that they could not understand, so that they will continue to learn, but never know. That's God's doing. And if anyone doubts that, it's emphasized again in verse 7. Verse 7 corroborates the same truth, ever learning and never literally having the power to come to the knowledge of the truth. You only come to the knowledge of truth if you have the power, God-given power. God does not give them the power to come to the knowledge of the truth. God can, and God does do that in enemies of the truth. He corrupts their mind so that they cannot understand. In the third place, they are, according to verse 8, reprobate concerning the faith. The faith there is not referring to the activity of believing, but to the content, what you believe. The truth of the Bible. Reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate there does not refer to the eternal decree of God whereby he reprobates some, Esau, and elects others, Jacob. Reprobate in the text is not referring to God's decree, but it simply means condemned or rejected because it didn't pass the test. Obviously, then, it cannot refer to God's decree of reprobation because God does not reprobate those who do not pass the test. If that were the case, we've lost the sovereignty of God. Rejected because it does not pass the test. Now, this would sound very strange to us, but it gets to the point of the word. You could refer to a reprobate pair of pants. The idea is this. Someone goes into a store and finds a pair of pants they may like, and then they go into the fitting room and try on the new pair of pants, but they don't fit just right. The pants don't look good. The pants are not passing the test. They're failing the test. So the man or woman walks out of the fitting room and deposits that pair of pants wherever, in some bin perhaps. And at that point, the pair of pants has become reprobate. According to this use of the word, that is, condemned or rejected because it didn't pass the test. That's the idea. Reprobate concerning the faith. You take the faith, what these men believe, and hold it up to the scriptures, and it doesn't pass the test. Therefore, they are reprobate concerning the faith. Rejected, condemned, concerning the faith. Now, certainly, if they continue in impenitence, they will manifest themselves as being reprobate according to the decree of God. Ever learning, but never knowing, of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, and finally, this is what makes them so dangerous. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. That's the connection to verse 5. Verse 6, for of this sort, that is, of those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof, are they which creep into houses. Or, to use a different figure, they look just like Jannies and Jambres. They are like Jannies and Jambres, rather. They look like Moses and Aaron. They talk like Moses and Aaron. They do what Moses and Aaron do. When you hear them preach for the first time, they sound just like Paul. And when you go to one of their classes and hear them teach for the first time, they sound just like Timothy. They have the form. They look good with the form, but deny the power thereof. To use the words of verse 13, evil men and seducers who wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It belongs to the great peril of the last days that these enemies of truth will appear. The peril is not only in who these men are, but in what these men do. Their activity is perilous. They prey on women. That's their activity. That's the peril concerning enemies of the truth. They prey on women. Verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, never learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They creep into houses. Literally, in the city of Ephesus, they would creep into houses. They would find a way to get in someone's house. Now, the idea is not that they had their lanterns and under the cover of darkness, stealthily, they crawled their way through the olive branches and approached the house and tried to sneak through the window. Nor is the idea that during the day they discreetly walked back and forth past a house doing some kind of amateur reconnaissance, trying to determine just the perfect time when they could slip through the door. That's not the idea. Creeping into houses refers to any means of cunningly approaching someone. And it may be that one goes into another's house under the guise of bringing the gospel. The New Testament includes many parallel passages speaking of the cunning deceit of false teachers. Jude 4. The church must earnestly contend for the faith, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, think Egypt, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and following. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, secretly, craftily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And continuing into verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Galatians 2, verse 4. And because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And Titus 1, verses 10 and 11. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses. And then you think of Matthew 23, verse 14, and the fact that Jesus condemned the Pharisees for devouring widows' houses. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. They go after women. Certainly they go after men, but especially they go after women. They are much like their father, who in the very beginning had his eye on Adam, but first went after the woman Eve. They set their sights on women, silly women. Verse 6. Silly women. Not silly in the sense that they are always joking and laughing and appreciate a good deal of tomfoolery. A better translation is gullible. These women are gullible. That's the idea of silly in the text. Very gullible. They're easily persuaded. They're easily led away. They will believe just about anything. When the salesman knocks on the door, they are writing out a check before he has even finished his sales pitch. Gullible, not well anchored and established and grounded, but these women are silly, that is, gullible. But what makes them especially vulnerable is that they are laden with sins, according to verse 6. Maybe sins that someone committed against them in the past. They were abused. They were neglected. They were taken advantage of. They were in a hurtful relationship. Maybe their parents, as Gentiles, were unbelieving and mistreated them. Their family is in turmoil. Someone sinned against them. But especially, they have sinned in some way. They have a guilty conscience right now. They are bothered. Something bothers them. They have a dark past that haunts them. They did something. They went somewhere. They spoke to someone. They got involved with some man. There was something at work or something at school. Something in their past is troubling them. And they're bothered, and they have a guilty conscience, and they're looking for some relief because they're laden with sins. Not exclusively, but ordinarily when it happens to a man, he's going to bottle up, and he's going to be closed, and he's going to deny it, and ignore it, and run from it. But it happens often with women, especially with women, that they're going to be looking for some form of relief, not in God. Not these women, not in God, but they're looking for someone or something to give them relief because of what they experience due to their past. Not only that, the text informs us that they are led away with diverse lusts, maybe power. They want to be in the company of and have a relationship with a powerful religious leader. Maybe sexual. They want to be wooed by a religious charlatan. Maybe money. They suppose the religious leader has some money and they are attracted to the possibility. Maybe pride. They want some status or some recognition with someone. But there are many diverse lusts, led away with diverse lusts. So here's this woman. And now you've got the enemy of the truth. He finds his way somehow into her house. He's well dressed. He's got his Bible. He's got a book. He appears so successful. And he speaks well. He has what appears to be a vibrant spirituality. He seems genuinely concerned. He has a wealth of knowledge. He speaks with great conviction. He uses flattery, telling the women what they want to hear. He starts talking about the Bible and teaching them, but not about the majesty of God and the holiness of God, and that God requires a strict, antithetical life. But he talks about an appealing religion of a God who can deliver you somehow and some way from your present trials, but it will be an easy way. This religious leader comes and he offers an easy way out for the woman. And there she is. She's gullible. She's laden with sins. She's weeping as he speaks. She's easily led away by diverse lusts, and it's a perfect match orchestrated by Satan. A gullible woman and an enemy of truth who has the form of godliness, and the result is that she's taken captive. She listens. She falls for him. She's the woman who writes out a $1,000 check for this new cleaning device that will revolutionize the way women clean their houses, and it's a hoax. But she does it. She sold her soul to the man. She has been duped by a religious counterfeit. He now has her and her soul captive. And according to verse 7, she's learning. And now she's in a position she's never been in before. She's encouraged. She's excited. This man's teaching her. She's learning and learning and learning like never before. But she's never knowing. Never knowing. You don't think this is happening, beloved? This is one of the great perils of the last days. Men, but especially women, are being taken captive by enemies of the truth. What about those modern televangelists, religious charlatans that they are, with their pearly white teeth, frosted hair, and shiny jewelry, who can talk in such a way that their words drop as sweetly as honeycomb? And there they are on the television. And now you must wonder, how many women are sitting there all alone in their apartments, in their homes? Maybe their husband's gone. Maybe he's left them. Maybe their boyfriend has left and they're all alone and they're struggling with something in their life and they're very gullible and they turn on the television and here's this televangelist and he's so convicting and he tells them, all the listeners, just send us a check for $100 and I promise you, you will reap the benefit tenfold. I promise you in the name of Jesus Christ, if you send to us right now $100, God will richly reward you. Let me tell you about one of our past listeners who lost his home and his car and all his life savings and what. And he's got her. How often is that happening? That enemies of truth are creeping into houses through the television and taking captive gullible women laden with sins. What about the internet and all of those quick self-made videos of 5 or 10 or 30 minutes that are carefully orchestrated and deliver some religious rant from a hip new gospel preacher in blue jeans. And pretty soon it's lighting up the internet and it's been passed from every social network from one young woman to another. And it strikes a chord, though this gospel message is infiltrated with all kinds of theological consistencies and that it denies the very possibility of truth. It sounds so good and it's stimulating and it strikes a chord with present circumstances. And there are not only men, but especially women who are listening to this short YouTube clip of a new gospel preacher and everyone's talking about it and everyone's hearing it. Enemies of truth creeping into the lives of women through the internet in order to take captive women astray. Take them captive and lead them astray. Jannies and Jambres are alive today. They are the two Jehovah's Witnesses who come onto your front porch and knock on your door, and they can throw down their rod and it turns into a serpent. Or, to put it literally, they've got their Bible and they can speak just like Moses can. And there they are. And they deny the divinity of Jesus Christ and therefore the Trinity. And you resist them. Push them away. Jannies and Jambres, the two Jehovah's Witnesses. You do. How many gullible women are struggling with their past and they need help? And here comes two men to the front door and they have all the answers. How many women today are being led astray by enemies of the truth who come knocking on the front door? It happens in the church that a young woman grows up and the circumstances of her life are just not what she hoped they would be. Maybe her boyfriend broke up with her. She's distraught. She's vulnerable. She's gullible and she's looking for something. And here comes a Mormon. Here comes an apostate Christian. And he has everything she needs. And he speaks to her. And pretty soon, she's led away, taken captive by him. He is the answer to her and all of her needs. And now she's learning. She wasn't learning at church. Now she's learning as never before. He has her. What about the thousands and thousands of monks from days gone by and Roman Catholic priests with their impeccable form of godliness? How many thousands of women have been led astray by Roman Catholic priests who say, we have the pardon for your sins and here do some indulgences? And now don't just think of the West here in America, but there's Mexico and Brazil and the Philippines where there are all kinds of Roman Catholics and women struggling in poverty and with all of the circumstances of life. How many women today are being taken captive by Roman Catholic priests? How about the thousands and thousands of women who have been sucked into polygamist sex and cultic compounds and convents and creepy housing complexes? Gullible women, not only in Islam and in the pagan religions, but in apostate Christianity that has taken the form of a radical sect. How many women today were gullible and now live in a polygamist compound? I wonder. How many enemies of truth today have an influence in Reformed churches and with their false doctrine of sermons and lectures and books and in their private pastoral counseling are offering to distraught women everything they want and could ever need, and they're leading them away with their heresy? But they have a form of godliness and it works. How many women? Beloved, the Word of God is telling us something tonight that perhaps we do not often consider. We know that in the last times there will be enemies of truth and deceivers who will lead people astray. But the Word of God tonight is telling us, watch out. They prey on women. We need to be vigilant and we need to guard our women. Husbands, your wives. Fathers, your daughters. In the last days, perilous times shall come and vulnerable women will be taken captive. The Word of God tonight is to stir us up to vigilance. And isn't it striking? God's love for women. You know how enemies of truth oppose God? That's the text tonight. Enemies of truth oppose God. You know how they do that? They go after women. That's a revelation of God's love for women. In the church, to oppose him is to take the women. For these enemies of truth and all their wicked activity, there is an end. Yes, they can only go so far according to the text. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. They get to a certain point, these enemies do, and they are exposed. That happened to Jannes and Jambres. They had their day. And that's the text, the end of verse 9, as theirs, Jannes and Jambres, also was. Their rod, their serpent rather, was swallowed by Aaron's. They called the frogs out. They called the blood, brought the waters into blood, but they couldn't turn them back and bring them back. And when they struck the dust to try to bring forth lice, they couldn't do it. And they had to confess what Pharaoh would not in Exodus 8, verse 19. This is the finger of God. And eventually we read in Exodus 9, verse 11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses. There it is again. That's where Paul's drawing from, Exodus 9, verse 11. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. God struck them with boils. They only got to a certain point. And God exposed them in their folly. Remember Bar-Jesus, who opposed Paul and Barnabas on Cyprus? God made him blind. He only got so far, and then he was looking for a hand as a blind man. You remember the seven sons of Sceva, who tried to take the power of the apostles in the name of Jesus Christ in order to cast out demons? Well, the demon, the evil spirit in that man came, pummeled them, they were beaten up, and those seven sons went running out naked. They got just so far, and they were exposed. You remember a man by the name of Harold Camping, and how many thousands and thousands of men, and probably women besides, and even especially women, he duped? Your life is miserable? Don't worry, it's the end of the world today. You know how many women he led astray? He only reaches a certain point and God will expose him. He does that of all these false teachers. And in the end, the folly is exposed in the pouring out of the fullness of God's judgment. The 10 plagues were but a foreshadowing of the fullness of God's wrath being poured out. That is the end of all enemies of truth. They will be destroyed in the fullness of God's wrath. Maybe the end for one of them, or two, or some, is a radical conversion. You know the man who wrote this epistle? He knows something about creeping into houses. Acts 8, verse 3, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Not all are reprobate according to the decree. Maybe God will save one or two or some. Ordinarily, they are destroyed. That is their end. That they have an end is hope for you and me tonight. Isn't that comforting? That every enemy of the truth, according to the counsel of God, can only go so far, and he will be exposed in his folly. That's the salvation of Jesus Christ. No one can overturn Christ's salvation of us. But the thanks tonight, we owe God thanks. Thank God tonight for men in the church who are men of truth and not enemies of the truth. And thank God tonight for women. Not only the married women who have husbands, but the single women who are not gullible, but wise. And who are not led astray by wolves who come in sheep clothing. God has been faithful. Maybe one or two or some have been led astray. And then if you know them, pray for them. And their families hurt. Their daughters have been taken away. Pray to God But then be thankful for the strong women, especially single women, whom God gives us, who are not gullible. And then thank God for hope. The hope that we have. You can withstand Moses on the banks of the Nile because he's only a type. No man can withstand, oppose, resist Jesus Christ, who is the leader, the deliverer, and the mediator. He is coming from heaven. And though enemies of truth oppose God by opposing Jesus Christ, they cannot withstand him. He shall come victorious and deliver the church out of these last perilous days. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are not afraid. We would be by nature. But thy Spirit is so powerful that he quickens within us confidence and hope for the future, even though the days that lie ahead are increasingly dark. We are not afraid of the peril because Jesus Christ is King. He reigns supreme. He is Lord over all. Pharaoh is but a subject and servant, and so are all the enemies of truth. Christ reigns supreme. We honor him. In his name we pray. Amen.